There's this wonderful antique Valentine posted to the internet. It features a cherub with a dove in one hand and a budding rose in the other. A white ribbon forms a heart around this poem. May this bow of white, which gives delight, and which I send you a token be of love divine. O, willet thou be my Valentine? Ah, to return to the days of inexplicable contractions, the good old days of real romance. Or were they? You might think that couples had no troubles back 150 years ago, when cherubs walked the earth holding birds and flowers, and we used words like willet. After all, that was back when technology prevented fights over the TV clicker. But couples back then had major troubles too, and no place is that more clear than within the law of breach of promise to marry, a sort of policing of romance that's still on the books in the land of Lincoln. Put succinctly, breach of promise to marry allows the wronged would-be spouse, the one left at the altar, say, to sue his or her intended for promising to wed and then getting wet feet. If you think that sounds sort of unfair, you'd be in line with today's legislators to an extent. Today, the Breach of Promise to Marry Act gives those wronged the right to sue for only limited damages, basically out-of-pocket expenses, but see your favorite attorney for a more detailed description. After all, legislators note, you can't throw enough money at pains of the heart to make them disappear. But back in the good old days of cherubs, we sure did. Money may not have cured the heartache, but it put a happy jingle in one's pocketbook. And quite frankly, romance seemed much more complicated back then, and the emotional damages all the more real. Take a wronged woman's reputation. There is a total loss of character, and all hopes of future happiness and usefulness are blighted, the Illinois Supreme Court sympathized in 1859, and future misery, if not crime, are its consequences. That decision built on one from the same decade in which an exasperated court criticized all who found themselves in a fading relationship and became scoundrels. Such a man, if he deserves the name, is entitled to no sympathy at the hands of either juries or courts, but should be made to respond in heavy damages for more real suffering and distress. Meantime, the wronged woman back then didn't have to hold back. One male defendant argued that after he'd broken off the engagement, his intended let loose in what the court described as strong, if not indelicate, language, that she didn't wish to marry him anyway. That sort of response was to be expected, the court reasoned, because, quote, a discarded girl, when badgered on the subject, can hardly be expected to speak with the caution and circumspection which her lawyer would advise. And as for other nuances in the facts that male defendants tried to use as a shield, a court around the same time put it bluntly, if a man knowingly promises to marry an immodest and loose woman, he is bound to do so. There's another wonderful antique Valentine you can find on the internet. It reads, may friendship's bonds grow strong and tight and squeeze our hearts with all their might. It's a missive from the good old days of romance, but the hearts look to be sort of strangled. I'm Amy Guida.